Hi, everyone. We are so excited to share with all of you right now that we have opened our waitlist for the symposium with the tarot diagnosis. It's an online village library lounge that will allow us all to expand the conversations that we have on the podcast by including all of you who listen and engage with us on Instagram.
We decided to create the symposium so that we could engage with all of you on a deeper, more meaningful level. We wanted a space that allows not only us to connect more to everyone else, but so that the members of our community could meet and connect with each other.
We're currently working on building this magical, intellectual, and emotionally beautiful symposium space where we can invite all of you into your own cozy tarot and mental health community so that you can hang out with us, pull cards, learn and grow, and both give and receive support.
So if you want to be a part of the symposium and join our cozy little village, head over to our website, www.thetarotdiagnosis.com, and click the symposium link to sign up to be on the waitlist. While you're there, you can also sign up for our newsletter so that you get first access to episode releases, exciting updates, and exclusive tarot spreads.
You're listening to The Tarot Diagnosis. We're your hosts. I'm Luna.
And I'm Shannon. We're both clinical psychotherapists who trained together at Johns Hopkins.
Now we are both in private practice in Tampa, Florida, and in Baltimore, Maryland.
We also both happen to have a love for tarot.
Each episode, we work to demystify the tarot and explore its connections to mental and emotional health.
While this podcast may feel therapeutic, it is not meant to take the place of psychotherapy.
Join us while we pull cards to better understand ourselves and those around us.
Hey, Luna.
Hey, Shannon.
So today's topic is something that we've had on the list, I think, for what feels like months.
Yeah.
It's something that we've wanted to talk about for a little while now. I don't know why we haven't before now, but I think now is just, it just felt right to talk about. And we're talking about the art of fucking up. And disclaimer, we might actually, you know, drop some F-bombs more than usual in this episode. But yeah, I think this episode's basically just going to be about the fear of failure and probably a discussion around perfectionism.
Ooh, I think that's a great place to start. I think that there might be more, but like, we're going to see what happens as we always do. I like this topic so much. I can't remember who came up with it, but like every time I look at it on the list, I chuckle and I'm like, oh, that's going to be good.
Right? I know. Yeah. So I'm excited to see what we get into. And so I tend to deal with this a lot with clients. And so there's an actual clinical term that I wanted to throw out there and maybe just talk about for a minute. The clinical term for fear of failure, which they call it an irrational, persistent fear of failure, is acticophobia. So if you're someone who's constantly fearing messing up, you might meet that criteria. I don't like that they use the word irrational, though, because the way I tend to explore this experience with clients in session is the framework from which I view it is I feel like failure, fear of failure tends to exist because it was a necessary form of survival and in order to feel safe. So I think a lot of us who have developed this really intense fear of making mistakes was because making mistakes probably wasn't an option growing up, or maybe even now based on your life experiences.
I mean, I think that that's such an important point that like it often it doesn't come out of nowhere. Like right. This is a learned experience, or also irrational in terms of like, it's possible that you're going to fail. So, right. I mean, like the reality of that needs to be like addressed. It's just kind of a question of like, so what could we do about it?
Exactly. So do you want to go ahead and pull some cards?
Yeah, let's pull some cards.
Okay. So I was telling Luna before we started the, I almost said session again, episode, that I think I'm going to pull like a bunch of cards, not a bunch, maybe just a handful, and kind of see what comes out and just base our conversation around that instead of randomly pulling throughout. Might help just me feel more organized, but we'll see what happens.
I don't know if I'm going to do the same thing. I might.
Are we switching it up?
We're switching it up. Maybe I'm going to pull two.
Nice.
Yeah, because that makes me feel a little bit more in control. What deck are you using?
I'm going classic tarot vintage. What
nice.
About you?
Yeah, Golden Art Nouveau. So we're going for the big guns today.
Yeah. Maybe for what feels safe, honestly.
Right. No,
oh, no.
Oh, that's so interesting. Like already we're right? like leaning into that because I just said it too. Like I feel more secure about pulling two cards. Interesting.
Maybe, yeah, maybe we should have used a deck that makes us step
all right, I'm doing it. Zone. No, ready. I'm switching right now.
I would, but I'm so tucked into a pillow fort right now that like one wrong move and pillows will come crashing down everywhere.
You're hilarious. All right, I'm doing it for us both. I switched over to the Intuitive Knight Goddess Tarot, and I chose it deliberately because it's a deck that I really like, but that I'm not totally comfortable with, and there are parts of it that I don't like. So I'm choosing it deliberately because it's a challenging deck.
Awesome.
See how brave I am?
I love that. Oh. Ooh, what'd you pull?
Okay, so I pulled two because that made me feel secure. The first one I saw was the Sun, and the second one I saw is Four of Pentacles, which both are cards that as I was laying down all my cards ahead of time, both of those cards caught my eye. So that's really fun and interesting. I think that there's a lot to be said. How about you?
Yeah, I pulled Four of Cups.
Oh.
And I have a feeling that our Four of Cups and Four of Pentacles might align. I like that we both like drew fours too.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, that is very cool. Interesting.
So what are your thoughts on the Sun and Four of Pentacles?
I think I want to start. What do I want to say first? I think I want to start with a question actually about, and we probably should have like clarified this before we started, but I kind of like doing process in the podcast. I'm not sure on what the title of this episode is. Are we doing the fear of fucking up or are we doing the art of fucking up? Because I think that they're slightly different and I lean more into the art versus the fear. What do you think about that?
I also like art, but I feel like I'm going to be approaching it from fear.
So right. Okay. This is fun. Yeah. So I'm going to bring the art in. And I think I'm going to bring the art in with actually combining these two cards, the Four of Pentacles and the Sun. Sun, of course, is sort of, we've talked before, both on Instagram and on the podcast, about how the Sun card can be really challenging because there's kind of this pressure around just be happy or I'm supposed to be happy. Or it kind of, I think, could, particularly in reverse, represent perfectionism. Of what I'm supposed to be. And if I can't be, you know, this this kid on this horse going woo or whatever, then I'm somehow I've already fucked up. And I think that sort of holding the idea of like, what is the goal in mind is an important one. Couple that with Four of Pentacles. Four of Pentacles to me is all about being grabby. You know, it's all about like not wanting to let anything go. What are you thinking?
That's exactly why I said I think your Four of Pentacles and my Four of Cups might align because I'm looking at it almost in like the same concept, but slightly different. So in Four of Pentacles, like that one person is, I think, holding one of the pentacles kind of at their core. And in Four of Cups, the person is sitting with their hands across their core, like protecting themselves from this cup coming near them. And so it's almost like it's both are forms of self-preservation. If you think about it, like this person doesn't want to let this pentacle go. And this person doesn't want to accept this new cup because something bad might happen.
Oh, that's so interesting. Right. See, and I think that what we're talking about, had the place to move, mistake making, from a place of fear to a place of art is about recognizing that that requires vulnerability. And that's what happens when we remove our hands from our core and to sort of open up and say, okay, I'm going to try this. And I recognize that I might be wounded and maybe that's okay.
Oh yeah, totally. Like, and that's where I tend to sit when I'm treating clients too. And I think like looking at my Four of Cups and seeing like the arms crossed and realizing that this is, you know, more about self-preservation. I think too, our experiences in life regarding like learned behavior, we could say for this particular card, like if we experienced something that was conditional growing up, like love or affection, or if we didn't do something correctly, or something went wrong, we learned to avoid any sort of behavior that could potentially get like some sort of harsh outcome. And so with this person crossing their arms, like, no, I don't want any new experiences. Or maybe they're asking to stack this cup on top of these other three cups. And this person's looking, going like, no, that cup's going to fall over. I'm going to avoid that at all costs. So I'm not going to accept this new cup. You know, and someone who's struggling with this intense fear of failure will do exactly what this cup or what this card is showing, cross their arms and say no, because there's not any sort of guaranteed win or guaranteed positive outcome. And this person just seems to be avoiding like a really uncomfortable situation or uncomfortable feelings.
I mean, I think that you've just described what this looks like so well. That people who are afraid or haven't learned the art tend to sit in a place of like non-action.
Exactly.
Right. So now all we do is sort of like binge Netflix or scroll. It's a lot of scrolling in this space, or a lot of video games, like a lot of video games. Like, oh, that's interesting too, isn't it? Because in video games, like if you fuck up, you know what? Like, it's easy. Like, you might be annoyed, but like, you just start over. You get a do-over instantly. And I think maybe that's why people like, why I see so many clients go into the video game mode when they're scared to live in the real world.
Yes. I love what you're saying. It actually reminds me of something I wanted to talk about today. And something I want to say, I have a couple things to say. Because you're talking about essentially a component of inaction. Right? Where it's like, ooh, I'm paralyzed with fear, so I'm not going to do anything. And that's also what I was talking about with Four of Cups. I think there's so much like shame and anxiety wrapped up in this like fear of failure, perfectionism, that I think the art component of the art of fucking up, which is maybe not a healthy art form, is also this need for control and trying to over control. The opposite of inaction would be trying to almost do too much so that you know exactly what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, how it's going to go. It's like you've got your hands everywhere. And for a lot of people, at least what I see, is if you're used to being in a chaos, like if you were raised in a chaotic environment, if things were constantly going wrong and creating these like physically or emotionally unsafe experiences around you, our drive to make sure everything is perfect is going to be turned all the way up. And so we will either be inactive, paralyzed, just playing video games or doing something else to avoid having a role in anything going wrong, or the opposite. Mm-hmm. We will immerse ourselves in everything to make sure that nothing goes wrong, that everything goes right.
Yeah, this level of hypervigilance.
Yes.
Yeah. And like Luna quietly raises her hand in the corner.
Oh, yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. But for everyone who's listening, you are not alone in this. This is like such a universal experience that I think we all share to some degree. And the other thing I wanted to mention real quick, you had said something a second ago about the video games and you get a do-over. And that's actually, I wasn't going to share this until later on in the episode, but that's actually a technique that I learned from a supervisor years and years and years ago when I was mainly working with kids. She taught me how to normalize like making mistakes for the little ones. So whenever I was working with a child who made a mistake, whether they dropped a toy or maybe they didn't choose the correct color block that I asked for, I would just say, oh, try again. And it was just my way of normalizing. It's okay to do something wrong. Just try again. We're allowed to try again and have do-overs, you know, to a certain degree in life. And I would teach parents the same thing because these levels of behavior are learned, we don't realize how often the things that we do in our life influence the way other people experience us and themselves. So another example, I loved what this supervisor taught me. She would say, you know, when you're working with parents, for example, if they drop their keys, tell them to pay attention to how they respond to themselves when they drop their keys. Do they say, oh, great, I can't wait to see what other shitty thing happens today. Can't believe I dropped my keys again. I'm so clumsy. Or do they say, oh, I dropped my keys, let me pick them up.
Oops, butterfingers. Yeah.
Yes, right. Exactly. Right. You know, so it's really all about like, how are you responding to these events? Because if you know, I stay on the kid train, kids learn that making mistakes is bad. If you're someone who makes a huge to-do out of, you know, dropping something or breaking something. So then, of course, they learn to avoid feeling bad at all costs.
Right. I mean, like, because there's a linking there that happens, right? Like, it's not just that the mistake is bad and it's like this terrible thing that you dropped your keys because, like, what if the keys bent, you know? But also it's the all of the, like, am I going to walk on a landmine at any given moment? Is there going to be something that sets off either myself or the people around me? Probably best for me to sit here with my arms crossed.
Yeah. Oh, now this, yes.
You telling that story made me remember something I used to do when I worked with the little kids. And I would, if somebody would trip and fall and like start crying, the line that I used to always say and still sometimes say to my kids is, are you hurt? Or are you scared or both?
Yes.
And that like was really helpful for kids to be able, because often it was both, you know, and then it often was like, I think I just got scared. But learning how to say that, like, I'm just scared is really empowering. I'm just scared. Yeah. Of course, it's reasonable for me to be scared. I just fell off the top of the monkey bars, or I like, you know, like thought I was really going to get hurt and it frightened me, or like I dropped my keys and it made me feel like I was losing control for a second. So I just got scared, but I'm okay.
I love that. And one of the cards, so I said earlier, I'm just going to like pull, I ended up pulling, how many did I pull? 1, 2, 3, 4. I pulled 5 cards. And so I'm looking at them and I'm like, okay, how am I going to talk about this card? And I think you just did. One of the cards I pulled was 6 of Cups. And there's something about what you just said that totally resonates for 6 of Cups. And it almost reminds me of like reparenting yourself, which is a topic that you and I want to touch on at some point as well. And another feeling that might exist in that space too is maybe you're embarrassed. That's another component of messing up that we try to avoid. We don't want to make a fool of ourselves. We're so worried about being judged, and we constantly feel like we have to present ourselves in a very specific way to avoid someone looking at us negatively. And the 6 of Cups card is, you know, so comforting because there's this person who is, you know, clearly older than this younger child, and the child's looking up at them and there's a smile on their face. And this person's like handing them this, you know, cup full of flowers, which reminds me exactly of what you were just talking about. It's almost like, hey, I'm checking in with you. And we can offer ourselves that opportunity as adults by reparenting ourselves in ways of maybe talking to ourselves that in certain ways that we didn't get when we were growing up. So maybe something does happen, and instead of talking to ourselves in a really harsh, negative way, like, oh, you're such an idiot, or I can't believe you made this mistake, how could you miss something so easy? We say, what's happening? Are you scared? Are you hurt? Are you embarrassed? What would you need right now? And giving yourself the opportunity to say, I need to step away and get some fresh air. So I'm going to go do that.
I love everything you're saying. And I think it's like, of course, we've started talking about reparenting. Like, it seems that these two episodes might do that next week, because they do feel like they go right next to each other.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad that you brought that up, because like, now that I'm thinking about it, I think that that's very true. This is part of maturing, of becoming that sort of more self-actualized or even just functional adult, is being able to tolerate the distress of having made mistakes, including the distress of being embarrassed by it. So like, I'm just going to model it real quick. Like, guess what? I just made a mistake. This is a terrible deck for me to be using right now. The images on these two cards do not work for me at all. And like, it's not resonating. And I did this on the podcast. I picked the wrong deck. I talked about it. I fucked up. Okay. Yeah. And I think that I can just kind of give myself some grace and say, all right, I'm going to put it away. I'm going to grab the deck that I know and that I like and that I resonate with, and it's not going to be a problem. And I can acknowledge it and be a little embarrassed that I wasn't as prepared as I should have been. Okay. That's all right. I'm sure that nobody is going to be angry at me and everything will be fine.
Oh God, that's so awesome. I love that you're talking about that, especially like in this moment. That's so amazing. I think, you know, yeah, I think what also ties into that is knowing that, or maybe even wanting to avoid this fear of messing up in the future too. So it's like, ooh, well, I need to make sure that I'm doing everything I can so that something bad doesn't happen in the future. And, you know, you and I have, maybe it's been kind of there. We haven't really dove too much into it off podcast or privately, but I know I am honestly a little scared of failing with this project that you and I have started. You know, we've got this really cool symposium thing going on and we have so many really big, exciting ideas, but deep down, I do have this fear of what if we mess up? What if people don't like it? What if, you know what I mean? What if we create something and people are just like, meh, we're not into it. And then we look like a fool, or I look like a fool. But the truth is if we, this ties in great with one of the cards I pulled. I pulled Six of Pentacles and I'm looking at it going, how am I going to talk about this? But I'm looking at these two people who are kind of kneeling down and asking for something because our need, like that's a sense of learned helplessness. We could look at that and say, well, maybe these people are afraid to stand up because if they stand up, they might fall over. And it's safer to just kneel on the ground because if you fall over, you're not really going to get hurt and you're already low on the ground. So there isn't much that people might not look back and say, oh, they fell over because you were already kneeling. So yeah, I'm like, this goes back to what we were saying earlier about how it's almost our fear of failure can paralyze us and say it's safer to do nothing at all. But at its core, I think avoiding mistakes and avoiding failure is really just a way to avoid being seen and possibly being seen negatively, or in some cases rejected entirely, which is exactly what I was talking about with like kind of this fear I have with the symposium.
You know, it's so interesting. The card that's coming forward to me right now is Two of Pentacles. Because I think what happens when either we are scared of something in the future. I'm not going to do something, or I'm going to stay here closed off because I'm scared of a mistake, or whether we've actually made a mistake and then we catastrophize the mistake. Oh my God, this happened. Oh no. Now it's going to turn into the tower, right? Like now this is the end of the world. In either case, it really is about creating a sense of balance and understanding, okay, there was a mistake. Okay. It's not the end of the world. Okay. Yes, it was a problem. Okay. What can I do to fix it? And I think that, talking about like our project, and I hope everyone will sort of like understand this is just us pulling something from our own lives into this, is a really good example. We've planned this big project. It feels vulnerable. It feels exciting. And we can think about it big, like, oh my God, what if this is a tower? What if it like falls and crumbles and it's awful? But also we could think about it, I'm thinking about it in terms of like a million little ways in which there could be mistakes.
Yeah.
And it's almost like I'm trying to ask myself, okay, where is it possible that we're going to fuck up? When is it possible that that's going to happen? And what can I do about it preventively? And the rest of it, I just have to accept, because I don't think that there's a way to go into any project, if it's large enough, without there being mistakes. So I like this idea of Two of Pentacles, of like creating a sensation of balance. Okay, there's going to be this, but there's going to be this, and that's okay.
You're so right. You're actually segueing beautifully into kind of what to do when you are experiencing, you know, this atychophobia, this fear of failure, this intense fear of making a mistake. And one of the exercises I love to do, I've been doing this for years, and I learned it from another clinician, another supervisor. And I think maybe this is also like part of the literal art part of the title of The Art of Fucking Up. With kids specifically, I would do this, but I also do it with adults, and adults love it because it's kind of silly, but basically I will have someone sit in front of me and draw a picture. I'm going to say, you know, just draw whatever, you know, draw trees or plant, whatever you feel called to draw. And I let them know, and I know this sounds cruel, but I let them know ahead of time, I'm going to mess up their art. Like, I'm going to basically destroy it. I'm going to draw on it. I might rip it. Like, I'm going to fuck up your stuff. And then I tell them they have to fix it and turn it into something else. And this is, it can be a really powerful experience, and it allows them to see that even when something goes wrong, like, you can tap into, you know, your magician energy, to bring in the magician card, and create something different and maybe even something better than what you were originally creating before. Maybe it's even more creative. And that's exactly in alignment with what you were just talking about in terms of, you know, I can think of, you know, all these little mistakes that might happen. And sure, they're going to happen. And this goes back to reframing. How are we going to experience these mistakes as failures and then say, oh, because this happened, I have to stop completely, or I'm useless, or I'm worthless? Or are we going to allow ourselves to acknowledge these experiences and almost like own them, make them a part of us, and say, okay, now what? What do I do now? What do I want to do now? What can I do now? What can I take from this mistake to make it better?
I mean, I love everything that you just said. And I think that, like, it's bringing up, like, so many different thoughts. And I think that is where we get into the art, what you just said, mm-hmm. is how do I utilize my mistakes as yeah. part of the creative process of my life, so that I can create something even better. And as I look back on my life, some of my biggest disasters have ended up producing something wonderful. But we have to have some of the disasters, and you have to be willing to take them on.
Yes.
I just grabbed Eight of Wands, which is a card that I think, you know, I don't always love. Right. Like, I've talked about how it creates a sense of pressure for me, but I kind of want to pull the idea of Eight of Wands as, like, a gift in this scenario, that accept the idea that you're going to make a mistake.
Yeah.
And when you do, it might be surprising because, like, you made a mistake because you didn't see it coming. But you have the gift of Eight of Wands in that you can change it. You can move quickly to rectify the situation. And that's always available to us. And that gives me a lot of hope. Like, okay, I messed up. Okay, let me fix it.
Yeah. Oh, something else I want to add on to that. Even beyond, well, yeah, I guess this could be fixing it or owning it. I'm looking at the Six of Swords card in front of me. And actually, I just realized, side note, all the cards I pulled are either sixes or fours. That's really interesting.
Oh, that is interesting.
Yeah. So based on what you're saying too, and I'm looking at the Six of Swords, where all these swords are in this boat, and I love Six of Swords. It's one of my favorite cards.
I love it.
You know, it's so good. And, you know, they're off to a different place. And one of the antidotes to this, like, fear of failure and being so hard on ourselves about mistakes is self-compassion. Self-compassion is really the antidote to everything. Like, let's be real. But I'm looking at these swords, and I feel like they could also be representations of our mistakes. And I think this is also a representation of self-compassion. Like, what's more compassionate than allowing ourselves to continue moving forward, you know, despite our fuck-ups? It's like, yep, these are in my boat now, but I'm still moving forward. You know, it's like, even if we couldn't fix or rectify everything that happened, we're owning them and taking them with us moving forward, almost as, like, reminders, where it's like, oh, okay, this thing happened. I'm going to try to make sure it doesn't happen again, type of thing.
You know, I'm landing right again on Two of Pentacles about the idea of balance.
Yeah.
That, right? Like, I think self-compassion, it's okay that I made a mistake. I did the best I could in that moment. I didn't realize what was happening. It was a mistake.
Yeah.
Okay. And being kind to ourselves for it while also holding ourselves responsible. Like, sometimes there can be a moment of, like, you know what? I did know better. You know what? Like, I did see that coming and I didn't stop it. All right. I need to learn from that, and I can be kind and forgive myself. But you see, the thing is, you can't forgive yourself if you haven't actually taken responsibility for it. And I think that's right. Like, that's the interesting line. And why I think people are avoidant around messing up is because they don't know if they can trust themselves to hold that dual space of both being compassionate, but also taking responsibility for themselves.
Oh, that everything you said is so powerful. And I think that's why I love my job so much, because we can offer that to our clients when they come into this space. It's like, listen, what you need to process and explore, yeah, probably seems way too scary to do on your own. And I'm creating a space for you to do it here with me. And there's this really cool, almost narrative-based approach that I use with clients already. And I kind of transformed it to use it with tarot. And it's similar to kind of what we're talking about, where, you know, actually I used this with someone recently too. It was really cool. I had them create like a storyboard out of like cards in their current situation, where it's like, okay, go through the deck, pick out what cards represent what you're currently dealing with and what you're not wanting to process, or what you're really avoiding type of thing. And then similar to the art exercise, I went in and then either removed cards or added cards. So it's almost like, okay, now you're forced to look at this narrative slightly differently, or forced to address like what's going on that you have been avoiding. But it's easier to do it because you have this kind of tangible thing in front of you. You have this like storyboard of cards, and it almost allows you to step outside of yourself for a minute, which makes things a little bit easier, a little less vulnerable. But we're still talking about you. It just gives you a tangible thing to focus on. And so when you're fearing failure, for example, you could easily do this exercise with cards and maybe pull, you know, three or four cards. Like, what's the story I'm telling myself about this fear that I have? Okay, what happens if I remove one of the cards? Now, what does the story say? What happens if I add a card? Now, what is the story saying? And it can be a really, really like powerful journaling exercise too, because we get so stuck in our own thought patterns, and breaking our own thought patterns is so hard sometimes. And that's why tarot is so great, because we can pull these cards and say, oh, that's a new way to think about that.
Oh my God, you're so smart.
Sometimes.
That was like so great. And I'm like, that's amazing. That's a great exercise. I hope people start doing it at home, because like that's like in some anemotified version, obviously. Like that's like really neat. And I think what you're saying is exactly right. This is the intersection between tarot and therapy. And that's the place that we love, because what happens, the reason why therapy is helpful, is you're inviting another person into your brain, and you're saying, hey, can I like show you around and show you like all these parts? Like, it's sort of like having a house and kind of being like, listen, I put this paint swatch on the wall. Like, what do you think? Or like, do you think I should move the sofa? Mm-hmm. It's like that, but with your brain. And it's helpful because you're getting a second opinion and having somebody else being like, you know, I don't know. What if you put the chair over there? And I think that the reason why tarot is so powerful with that is because of what you said, because it's like seeing a different image and inviting other ways of seeing the world through just these, like putting these cards down. And I just think that that's like an incredible tool that we all have. And then learning that we can change the way we look at cards, that also is part of the process, which I just find so, so interesting. I've just kind of pulled in a row, like just to see what it looked like, star, moon, and sun. Because I think that this, the way they line up is interesting.
Yeah, I'm also, right? Exactly.
They're in that order. And of course, I'm thinking about like how this is all based on the concept of the fool's journey. Like all of us are fools. All of us don't know what the hell we're doing. None of us know what the hell we're doing. The whole process is trying to figure out what the hell we're doing. And so if you think about this concept of it goes stars, moon, sun, star is like, oh, I have clarity, but now I don't. And then once I go through the process of not having clarity, then I can emerge into the other side with, again, that sun card, with that state of happiness. But I think that we have such a hard time reaching it because we think it's a mistake to go through the moon card and to go through the time of confusion.
Mm. And, you know, it's interesting because I just posted about the moon card recently on my personal page. And I love the moon card so much because of that, because of the unknown, even though it seems kind of ironic, because as someone who feels like they need to know what's going on all the time and like this fear of failure, being in control, there's a sense of comfort there where it's like, we are so like minute in our mistakes and our fuck ups are, you know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Like small daily fuck ups, like let's, you know, are so minor in comparison to like, to the grand scheme of the world or the universe. And I feel like the moon offers that to us where it's like, how can we look to the moon as this source of comfort and reminder that we don't actually know everything, and that's okay. 'Cause we're not supposed to.
Yeah. I think that that's the other piece of it, is that it is okay for us to make mistakes. We have to take responsibility for it, but also none of us know what the hell we're doing.
Yeah, exactly. Something that came up recently when I was thinking about just this episode and what I do with clients, because this is a huge part of my caseload. And I realized that one of the things I do with clients is a form of exposure therapy in a way, where I'll have them make a list. And I'm realizing just now as I'm talking about this, that you can actually do this with tarot. This is really cool. I'll have them make a list of everything that they're afraid of happening or things that they're fearing. And I feel like you could go through your tarot deck and do the same thing, like pull cards that like, that make you worried, like that represent mistakes or screw ups or failures for you personally, and make a list, almost like a bucket list. And then, you know, in safe ways, of course, go in and allow yourself to experience some of those. Like some of the things I work on with clients are, some people are afraid of making like a fool of themselves. Like maybe they have to give a presentation at work or at school. And so one of the exposure therapies will be, okay, I want you to do something that would make you feel silly around people who you feel safe with, and then eventually work your way up to maybe you're wearing a silly t-shirt out in public or something, just to see that nothing bad is going to happen.
I really like what you just said. And like the example is spot on. Like it reminds me so much of what we talked about, I don't know, several weeks ago now, which I've repeated many times, this idea of making friends as an adult, and like your really wonderful like wisdom and advice, including going outside of your comfort zone. I have shared that with so many clients, and I really have, like, it's come up a lot, and it's funny to watch people squirm. Because people are like, okay, that's nice, but I'm like, okay, but you told me that this is what you want, and I'm offering you a solution, so now we have to talk about why that's scary. As you were talking, though, I was kind of like looking at the cards and thinking, okay, well, if this were me, which card would cause me distress? Mm-hmm. So we're just going to riff for a second. It's Ten of Swords. Ten of Swords, like, scares the crap out of me. And sometimes I'm good with it, but like, that is the one that upsets me more quickly than any other card. And I think it's because, to me, it absolutely represents failure. It represents like it's the end of the road. There is this place of there's nothing more you can do. You know, put it next to that Six of Swords that we were talking about earlier, which you and I both love. Six of Swords is wonderful because there's this melancholy and this sadness of there was a mistake. I have to leave it behind. I need to move on. But there's this hope in the card of I'm going towards something. Whereas Ten of Swords is like you are like on the ground, you've got 10 swords in your back. That's it, over. That one scares me. And I think that scares a lot of people, this idea of like, but what if I can't fix it? What if it's done?
Yeah. You know what's fascinating? To think about how different our cards would be, yet they're also like the outcome is very similar, because I feel like for me, and this is going to sound so weird to so many people, I don't like the star and I don't like the sun.
Right.
Because it's okay, if things are good, then surely something bad's going to happen. Or if I did something good, there's surely a mistake that I missed. And it's fascinating to see those fears come up for both of us, but in slightly different, not even slightly, very different forms of tarot cards.
Yeah. I love that. I think that's why we're fun to talk to.
Yeah. And I think about like how clients will often say, well, I, you know, can't experience, you know, this joy because I know that suffering will come. Mm-hmm. And I can't do the thing that I want to do because if I do make a mistake, I will suffer. So I'd rather just be still.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that this really comes down to a sense of agency. How much control, like this is why Ten of Swords is hard for me, because it feels like in that card, you lose all control. It's over. There's nothing you can do. Is like, I can't stand that. But in my life, I'm a person who has like self-trained, by the way, this has taken a long time, but I'm a person who does decide to move forward in action rather than in action, because I've just kind of forced myself through time to say, all right, you got to do something. All right, you got to do something. If nothing changes, nothing changes.
Right.
So, I mean, I think that for me, action has become a place that's like a very appropriate and good coping mechanism. When I feel scared, I think, okay, what can I do? And that makes me feel better, because I have found that that usually works in my life. Mm-hmm. But I think that if a person doesn't have a strong sense of agency, or feels like a lot of things are chaotic and out of their control for a variety of reasons, including because they grew up in a household where so many things were out of their control, or because the world is a scary place, or because of things actually being unfair and frightening in the world, then I can see how the sun or the stars could be really upsetting and challenging cards, because it's like, no, I don't want to go there at all.
Right. Because I know what happens next type of thing.
And because I can't control it, because I don't have agency over it. Like I cling to my sense of agency, and perhaps it's delusional.
You know, and you saying the word agency, you helped me. Finally, this one card finally clicked for me. I pulled the Four of Wands originally when I pulled out all these cards, and I've been avoiding it this whole time because I'm like, I don't know what the hell I'm going to say about that card. But this is the agency card for me based on what you're saying, because I think, you know, in our drive and desire to avoid making mistakes, avoid failing, we are essentially denying ourselves the opportunity to learn, and we deny others the opportunity to teach. And that's something that I'm always reminding myself, because this is something I personally struggle with all the time. When I have to be perfect, or when I don't allow myself to mess up, I'm denying someone else the opportunity and the experience to get to teach me something. And I suppose when that happens, when we deny ourselves and other people that, we don't get to experience this Four of Wands. And then to tie in the title of the episode, you know, I think this whole like art of fucking up is the ability to embrace the idea that, you know, existing is not without suffering. It's not without failing. It's not without mistakes. And it's these experiences that allow us to enjoy celebration.
Ooh. That was so fun. I had no idea you were going to go there.
Me either. You had to say agency. And I was like, oh my God, I know what I'm going to say about this card now. Because really, I was looking at it. I was like, I'm not even going to talk about it. Because I was like, I have no idea what I'm going to say. And then I was like, oh shit, this is exactly what is going on with this card.
It's so great. I mean, like, okay, so like, I feel like we always return to the same themes, which I think is important, because these are the themes. This is like the base of humanity. This is what it comes down to. So it wouldn't be a tarot diagnosis episode if we didn't talk about Two of Cups.
Right.
Yeah. So, because apparently we do every single week. I think that when we talk about the art of fucking up, my reaction is that it has to do with agency, and it has to do with the Two of Pentacles, and it has to do with balance and compassion and holding yourself responsible, but also being able to be forgiving and all of that. But what really gets interesting is when we allow other people into that process.
Yeah. And the true suffering that exists when we don't.
Yes.
Because that's about pure isolation. And we know what happens when, you know, we create the sense of isolation.
Yes. It's a question of whether we want to live in the place of Seven of Cups and sort of being in our mind, or inviting somebody in and sharing it, and allowing ourselves compassion for ourselves and holding ourselves responsible, but also being able to do that for the other person, and then allowing the other person to do that for us. Trusting somebody to hold us responsible, and trusting that somebody will also forgive our mistakes. that is, you know, and then we go back to Erickson, because then that is sort of that level of development where it's inviting other people in for intimacy is a stage of maturity of I've learned to trust myself through identity formation in my teens that now it's time to invite others in.
Right. Yeah. That intimacy versus isolation. And it's a really powerful experience. And as you were talking about Two of Cups, I was kind of getting all like gushy in my mind because I was like, oh, that's Luna and I. Like, that's totally like what we've done with this podcast and this project, because it's we allow ourselves to make mistakes and learn from each other and trust that each other is, you know, going to have our back and support us and help each other learn and grow. And life is meaningless without that sense of unity.
And I think you just hit on something that's really, really important. That I mean, you and I are both people who do things, and neither one of us like fucking up at all, you know? And are pretty, like, I think we're both in our own ways, like, pretty controlling and pretty sure about doing everything we can to avoid making mistakes. But when both of us end up letting our guards down a little bit, and letting the other person sort of see behind the scenes a little bit and allowing for there to be mistakes while also taking responsibility and vice versa, it produces something that is greater than either one of us could have possibly done on our own. And I think that that's the message that we can send is take responsibility for yourself, be kind to yourself, and look for others who can go on this journey with you.
Right. Yeah. Because the fool's journey doesn't have to be completed alone.
Oh, lovely. That's the lover's card.
Yeah. So many cards today.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening to The Tarot Diagnosis. You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok under the handle @TheTarotDiagnosis and join us while we pull daily cards and explore tarot and mental health in between podcast episodes. You can also subscribe to our podcast to make sure that you never miss an episode. If you have a topic or question that you'd like for us to explore on the podcast, you can contact us directly on our website, www.thetarotdiagnosis.com.